Page 14. "Sir," said Sir Tristram, "I will as ye will." Then went Arthur unto the sieges about the Round Table, and looked in every siege the which were void that lacked knights. And then the king saw in the siege of Marhaus letters that saiden, "This is the siege of the noble knight Sir Tristram." And then Arthur made Sir Tristram knight of the Round of the Table Round, with great nobly and great feast as might be thought. For Sir Marhaus was slain afore by the hands of Sir Tristram in an island, and that was well known at the time in the court of Arthur, for this Marhaus was a worthy knight. And for evil deeds that he did unto the country of Cornwall, Sir Tristram and he fought. And they fought so long, tracing and traversing, till they fell bleeding to the earth, for they were so sore wounded that they might not stand for bleeding. And Sir Tristram by fortune recovered, and Sir Marhaus died through the stroke on the head. So leave we of Sir Tristram, and speak we of King Mark. Chapter 7. How for the despite of Sir Tristram King Mark came with two knights into England, and how he slew one of the knights. Then King Mark had great despite of the renown of Sir Tristram, and then he chased him out of Cornwall. Yet was he nephew unto King Mark, but he had great suspicion unto Sir Tristram because of his king, because of his queen, La Belle Isoude. For him seemed that there was too much love between them both. So when Sir Tristram departed out of Cornwall into England, King Mark heard of the great prowess that Sir Tristram did there, the which grieved him sore. So he sent on his part men to espy what deeds he did. And the queen sent privily on her part spies to know what deeds he had done, for great love was between them twain. So when the messengers were come home, they told the truth as they had heard, that he had passed all other knights but if it were Sir Launcelot. Page 15. Then King Mark was right heavy of these tidings, and as glad was La Belle Isoude. Then in great despite he took with him two good knights and two squires, and disguised himself, and took his way into England, to the intent for to slay Sir Tristram. And one of these two knights hight Bersulas, and the other knight was called Amant. So as they rode, King Mark asked a knight that he met where he should find King Arthur. He said, at Camelot. Also he asked that knight after Sir Tristram whether he heard of him in the court of King Arthur. "Wit you well," said that knight, "ye shall find Sir Tristram there for a man of as great worship as is now living, for through his prowess he won the tournament of the Castle of Maidens that standeth by the Hard Rock, and sithen he hath won with his own hands 30 knights that were men of great honour. And the last battle that ever he did, he fought with Sir Launcelot, and that was a marvellous battle. And not by force Sir Launcelot brought Sir Tristram to the court, and of him King Arthur made passing great joy, and so made him knight of the Table Round, and his seat was where the good knight's Sir Marhaus' seat was. Then was King Mark passing sorry when he heard of the honour of Sir Tristram, and so they departed. Then said King Mark unto his two knights, Now will I tell you my counsel. Ye are the men that I trust most to alive, and I will that ye wit my coming hither is to this intent, for to destroy Sir Tristram by wiles or by treason, and it shall be hard if ever he escape our hands. Alas, said Sir Bersulas, what mean you? For ye be set in such a way ye are disposed shamefully, for Sir Tristram is the knight of most worship that we know living, and therefore I warn you plainly I will never consent to do him to the death, and therefore I will yield my service and forsake you. When King Mark heard him say so, suddenly he drew his sword and said, Ah, traitor, and smote Sir Bersulas on the head that the sword went to his teeth. Page 16. When Amant the knight saw him do that villainous deed, and his squires, they said it was foul done, and mischievously. Wherefore we will do thee no more service, and wit you well we will appreach thee of treason afore Arthur. Then was King Mark wonderly wroth, and would have slain Amant, but he and the two squires held them together, and set naught by his malice. When King Mark saw he might not be revenged on them, he said thus unto the knight Amant, Wit thou well, an thou appeach me of treason, I shall thereof defend me afore King Arthur, but I require thee that thou tell not my name, that I am King Mark, whatsomever come of me. Note, at the bottom of the page, appeach is to accuse. As for that, said Sir Amant, I will not discover your name. And so they departed, and Amant and his fellows took the body of Bersulas and buried it. Chapter 8. How the King Came to the Fountain Where He Found Sir Lamorack, Complaining for the Love of King Lot's Wife. Then King Mark rode till he came to a fountain, and there he rested him, and stood in a doubt whether he would ride to Arthur's court or none, or return again to his country. And as he thus rested him by that fountain, there came by him a knight well armed on horseback. And he alit, and tied his horse unto a tree, and set him down by the brink of the fountain. And there he made great languor and dole, and made the dolefulest complaint of love that ever man heard. And all this while he was not ware of King Mark. And this was a great part of his complaint. He cried and wept, saying, O fair queen of Orkney, King Lot's wife, and mother of Sir Gawain, and to Sir Gaheris, and mother to many other, for thy love I am in great pains. Page 17. Then King Mark arose, and went near him, and said, Fair knight, ye have made a piteous complaint. Truly, said the knight, it is an 100 part more ruefuller than my heart can utter. I require you, said King Mark, tell me your name. Sir, said he, as for my name, I will not hide it from no knight that beareth a shield, and my name is Sir Lamorack de Galis. But when Sir Lamorack heard King Mark speak, then wist he well by his speech that he was a Cornish knight. Sir, said Sir Lamorack, I understand by your tongue ye be of Cornwall, wherein there dwelleth the shamefullest king that is now living, for he is a great enemy to all good knights. And that proveth well, for he hath chased out of that country Sir Tristram, that is the worshipfullest knight that now is living, and all knights speak in of him worship, and for jealousness of his queen he hath chased him out of his country. It is pity, said Sir Lamorack, that ever any such false knight coward as King Mark is should be matched with such a fair lady and good as La Belle Isoude is, for all the world of him speaketh shame and of her worship that any queen may have. I have not ado in this matter, said King Mark, neither ought not will I speak thereof. Well said, said Sir Lamorack. Sir, can ye tell me any tidings? I can tell you, said Sir Lamorack, that there shall be a great tournament in haste beside Camelot, at the castle of Jagant, and the king with 100 knights and the king of Ireland, as I suppose, make that tournament. Then there came a knight that was called Sir Dinadan, and saluted them both. And when he wist that King Mark was a knight of Cornwall, he reproved him for the love of King Mark 1,000-fold more than did Sir Lamorack. Then he proffered to joust with King Mark, and he was full loath thereto, but Sir Dinadan egged him so that he jousted with Sir Lamorack. And Sir Lamorack smote King Mark so sore that he bare him on his spear end over his horse's tail. Page 18. And then King Mark arose again, and followed after Sir Lamorack. But Sir Dinadan would not joust with Sir Lamorack, but he told King Mark that Sir Lamorack was Sir Kay the Seneschal. That is not so, said King Mark, for he is much bigger than Sir Kay. And so he followed and overtook him and bade him abide. What will you do? Said Sir Lamorack. Sir, I will fight with the sword, for ye have shamed me with a spear. And therewith they dashed together with swords, and Sir Lamorack suffered him and forbare him. Then and King Mark was passing hasty and smote thick strokes. Sir Lamorack saw he would not stint, and waxed somewhat wroth, and doubled his strokes, for he was one of the noblest knights of the world, and he beat him so on the helm that his head hung nigh on the saddle-bow. When Sir Lamorack saw him fare so, he said, Sir knight, what cheer? Meseemeth ye have nigh your fill of fighting. It were a pity to do you any more harm, for ye are but a mean knight, therefore I give you leave to go where ye list. Gramercy, said King Mark, for ye and I be not matches. Then Sir Dinadan mocked King Mark, and said, Ye are not able to match a good knight. As for that, said King Mark, at the first time that I jousted with this knight, he refused me. Think ye that it is a shame to me? Said Sir Dinadan. Nay, sir, it is ever worship to a knight to refuse that thing that he may not attain. Therefore your worship had been much more to have refused him as I did. For I warn you plainly, he is able to beat such 5 as ye and I be. For ye knights of Cornwall are no men of worship as other knights are. And because ye are no men of worship, ye hate all men of worship, for never was bred in your country such a knight as is Sir Tristram. Page 19. Chapter 9. How King Mark, Sir Lamorack, and Sir Dinadan came to a castle, and how King Mark was known there. Then they rode forth all together, King Mark, Sir Lamorack, and Sir Dinadan, till they came to a bridge, and at the end thereof stood a fair tower. Then saw they a knight on horseback, well armed, brandishing a spear, crying and proffering himself to joust. "Now," said Sir Dinadan unto King Mark, "yonder are two brethren, that one hight Alain, and the other hight Traian, that will joust with any that passeth this passage." "Now proffer yourself," said Dinadan to King Mark, "for ever you be laid to the earth." Then King Mark was ashamed, and therewith he feutred his spear, and hurtled to Sir Traian, and either brake their spears all to pieces, and passed through anon. Then Sir Traian sent King Mark another spear to joust more, but in no wise he would not joust no more. Then they came to the castle, all three knights, and prayed the lord of the castle of harbour. "Ye are right welcome," said the knights of the castle, "for the love of the lord of this castle, the which hight Sir Tor le Fise Aries." And then they came into a fair court well repaired, and they had passing good cheer till the lieutenant of this castle, that hight Berluse, espied the King Mark of Cornwall. Then said Berluse, "Sir knight, I knew you better than you ween, for ye are King Mark that slew my father afore mine own eyen, and me had ye slain had I not escaped into a wood. But wit ye well, for the love of my lord of this castle, I will neither hurt you, ne harm you, nor at none of your fellowship. But wit ye well, when ye are past this lodging, I shall hurt you, and I may, for ye slew my father traitorly."
Page 20. "But first, for the love of my lord, Sir Tor, and for the love of Sir Lamorack, the honorable knight that is here lodged, ye shall have none ill lodging, for it is a pity that ever ye should be in the company of good knights. For ye are the most villainous knight or king that is now known alive, for ye are a destroyer of good knights, and all that ye do is but treason."